Thank you to Dave, and good morning to each one of you. Thank you. Good to have you here with us today. Good to be with you and have the opportunity of looking into God's Word. And we're going to do that by opening our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. If you've been with us recently when I've been speaking on Sunday mornings, hopefully you are very familiar with this passage. It speaks of spiritual battle because we've been looking at the book of Ephesians and working our way through it, as we have seen a parallel to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament as the nation of Israel prepared and then entered the promised land to take hold of their blessings. They had many battles to fight, and we find that the same is true for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our blessings are not primarily material, but rather spiritual. And we find that there are those who would be an enemy against us, just as Israel faced enemies going into the material promised land. So do we, seeking to enjoy our spiritual blessings. And we find here that we are soldiers. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, we are challenged by the Spirit of God through Paul's pen with these words: "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a soldier, spiritually speaking. And a wise soldier has on the armor that's provided for him or her. I want to share a little reading with you. Some of you may have seen this. It was sent to me, or maybe to Kim via her to me through the internet, an email. It says, "I am a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are the weapons of my warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If God needs me, I am there. If He needs me in the Sunday school, I am there. If He needs me to work with the youth, help with the adults, or sit and learn, He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, coddled, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from the battlefield, he will promote me even higher and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army and I'm claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? End quote. Pretty well sums up a lot of what we've said over the last weeks. As we thought about being that soldier who in the power of the strength of God Himself is able to stand, and having done everything to stand, not in our own ability, but rather in the strength that God provides. We began last Sunday morning to look at verses 18 to 20, and there we see Paul with all the armor on. There we see him fighting not against human enemies, but rather against spiritual enemies in high places, Satan and his demons. And we find there Paul emphasizing to us, as he closes out this portion, emphasizing to us the importance of communicating with our commander. I want to ask you to hold your place there, but turn, if you would, in your Bible to Revelation 19. I read these verses last week, but didn't have you turn to them. But I want to come back to this passage again, just to remind us of the power of the one who is our commander, the one with whom we are in contact or should be. And Paul challenges to do that here in Revelation chapter 19. And beginning down in verse 11, we have a description of this commander at a future day. When after he has come to take the believers to be with himself at the rapture, and then following a period of 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation upon this earth, he's going to come back in victory to set up his kingdom. And we have him described here. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, this is your commander. Verse 11 of Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us, by the way. Verse 15, and out of his mouth went a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's the one that tells us to stand with the armor that he's provided. And having done all that he has told us to do, having been obedient and responsive to his instruction and taking advantage of his provision, he says, having done all, I want you to stand because your enemy is trying to make you fall or flee. Satan and his military, his demons, are coming against us, and God has given us the provision that we need, and we read that. And now in verses 18 through 20, we saw last week concerning our communication with our commander that we need to maintain constant contact. Verse 18, praying always. We saw that we need to requisition the needed supplies, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, prayer is not only about asking. I don't want you to think that I'm saying that it is. No prayer, communication with our commander is also about adoring Him, worshiping Him, confessing to Him, praising Him, thanking Him. But it's also about requesting, and we see that here, particularly in that word supplication, which speaks of what we need or what others need. And then we were reminded to stay on the correct frequency, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. And then to remain on high alert, watching thereunto with all perseverance. And now our last point that we'd like to look at concerning this communication with our commander is to leave no soldier behind. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. You've likely heard that military motto, no soldier left behind. It's particularly associated with the Army Rangers. The U.S. Army Ranger Creed is an oath that the Army Rangers take, and it includes these words, I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy. But that military motto is also relevant to military forces around the world, whether they use those exact words or they just go into the battle with that attitude. There will be no soldier left behind. Recently, Staff Sergeant Sal Junta of the 173rd Airborne Brigade was presented with the Medal of Honor. Many of you are aware of that. You probably saw it on the news. He's the first living Medal of Honor recipient since the Vietnam War, and he was given that Medal of Honor by the President for heroic actions on October 25th, 2007, in what is known in Afghanistan as the Valley of Death. And there, after his squad was pinned down by the enemy, the Taliban, he, at the risk of his own life, repeatedly ran into enemy fire with the purpose of saving American lives and to rescue a fellow soldier who was being taken, literally at that moment, carried by two Taliban soldiers, one at his hands and one at his feet. And Staff Sergeant Junta ran into the enemy fire, because he would not leave a man behind. You know, it's interesting to hear Staff Sergeant Junta speak of that day. The saddest day of his life, he says, and he doesn't see himself as a hero. He said, everybody there was doing their job, and he said, I'm just an average soldier, just a mediocre soldier. He said he, like the other men of the Company B, 2nd Battalion Airborne, 503rd Infantry Regiment, was just doing his job. They were working together. And he recognized that. And we come to see ourselves in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6 that we've looked at repeatedly. And all through the book of Ephesians, the emphasis in many ways is on the unity of the body of Jesus Christ, that we are one. And that we are to be working together as a military unit in a spiritual sense, in spiritual warfare, no lone rangers, all needing each other and all needed by each other. And as we have that communication with our commander, it's not only for us individually, and that's where our minds and hearts naturally take us to pray for ourselves, and we should. We need to pray for one another, leaving no soldier behind. When Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he says, I exhort that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We have a responsibility as believers to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our commander, for all men. But here, the focus that Paul has in this battle, spiritually speaking, is that we're to pray for one another. We're to pray for our fellow soldiers. We're to be in contact with our commander and leave no soldier behind, not even a fallen soldier. And he speaks here of prayer for all believers. Notice that there at the end of verse 18. And supplication for all saints. For all saints. And we know that a saint, biblically speaking, is a holy one. And I trust that you are a holy one. Not that you're some holy kind of person out here that the world might say, ooh, isn't he holy? Ooh, isn't she holy? But that rather we would be holy in the eyes of God. And the only way that we're going to be holy in the eyes of God, who sees down to the very depths of our beings, including our motives and our attitudes that other people may not be able to make out, the only way we're going to be holy before God is to receive His Son, the Lord Jesus, that one who is coming back in power. We know that He came in humility and meekness and gave Himself as a substitute for us. Died on the cross for our sins. As Greg sang this morning, He died alone. He could have called the angelic host and the great power of the armies of heaven. But He didn't do that. He died alone for you and for me and for everyone. But He rose again, and if we will receive Him as Savior, we're made new creations in Christ, and we're made holy in the sight of God, and we're enabled to live lives that are holy, that do impact the people around us. And we're to pray for each other. We're to pray for each other. Saints, holy ones. You know, Paul prays here. He says, we're to pray for everyone, all saints. And we're going to find, as we look at a couple of his prayers here in the book of Ephesians, that he prayed for every believer. And sometimes he prayed for the assembly as a whole and each individual Christian who was in fellowship in that local assembly. He didn't want to leave any soldier behind. He wanted to pray in a way that was relevant and on behalf of every individual soldier in the unit. And we can know as we pray that the request that Paul makes, bringing these believers before the commander in prayer, we can be sure that these requests apply to any and every believer all around the world. Go over first to Ephesians chapter 2. This isn't a prayer, but this reminds us of the oneness, the unity of the believers. And we find this all through the book of Ephesians. In chapter 4, you remember we saw there's one body and one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, the unity. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, speaking of Christ Jesus, who shed His blood for us, for He is our peace, who has made both one, who's brought Jew and Gentile together, those Jews and Gentiles who trust Christ as Savior, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity by it, and came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who were near. For through Him, listen to this, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We're able to come to God. We're able to come to our commander in prayer. Now notice over in chapter 1 in verse 15. In verse 15, we're going to read the first of two prayers that Paul shared with the people. He said, in essence, here's what I'm praying for you. I have you on my heart and I'm praying for you. Chapter 1 and verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I want to pause here at this Thanksgiving time and let you know that I am thankful for you. I am thankful to God for you. But you know, as much as that may or may not mean to you, I know that it will mean a whole lot more to you if the rest of this verse is true of me. Not only that I don't cease to give thanks for you, but that I make mention of you in my prayers. That I'm bringing you before the commander, that I'm communicating on your behalf, just as I desire that same thing from you, and one for another, leaving no soldier behind. Look at the prayer, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. I want to pause there just for a moment. Paul is praying for these fellow believers, these who were gathering there in simplicity, there in the city of Ephesus, in what is today Turkey. There in that area of Asia Minor during the first century, these believers gathered in a very simple way like we seek to do here. They came together in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul says, I am praying for you, and I am praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, like the light bulb going off. He says, that's what I want to be true for you. Now notice here what he prays for. And as you think about what he prays for, just kind of think about all the things he doesn't pray for. Not that he shouldn't, but he didn't. What does he pray for here? That they would know, that they would know what is the hope of his calling. The commander's calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, the commander's. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, the commander's power, toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Do you notice there that the prayer request that Paul makes for the Ephesian believers has nothing to do with material things. Now again, he wouldn't be wrong, and he did pray for those things at times, but the focus of his prayers, as he thought about the spiritual battle, remember, our battle is spiritual, not physical. Remember in chapter 1 and verse 3 of Ephesians, the emphasis that God has for our blessings is spiritual and not material. And what does Paul do here? He prays for his fellow believers. He focuses on spiritual needs. What a model for us. Does that characterize our prayers? He prays that they might know, that they might understand the hope of God's calling, hope. Is there somebody that you know who's going through a difficult time and they could use hope? As well as healing, they could use hope. Is there someone you know who is going through life and they are struggling to find true purpose and meaning? The hope of His calling, God's purpose in our lives. Paul prayed that they would know the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. Do you know someone who's struggling financially? They could use a job. They could use a second job. They could use a better job. But you can also, as you pray about that, you can also pray that they would know the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. He prayed for them that they would know, that they would understand, that they would catch a glimpse of and get a grasp on the exceeding greatness of God's power toward the believers. Do you know some fellow comrades who were weak? Maybe physically or emotionally or mentally. Are you praying for them in those ways? When you pray for them in those ways, pray for them spiritually too, that they might know. That they might understand the exceeding greatness of God's power toward the believers, toward them if they're believers in the Lord Jesus. Look over at Ephesians chapter 3. That's one of the two prayers that Paul records and lays out and says, here's what I'm praying for you. Here's what I'm praying for you. He wasn't doing it trying to appear spiritual. He was sharing his heart. This is what I pray for you. He was being a model. Pray this for you. Use a second job. They could use a better job. But you can also, as you pray about that, you can also pray that they would know the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. He prayed for them that they would know, that they would understand, that they would catch a glimpse of and get a grasp on the exceeding greatness of God's power toward the believers. Do you know some fellow comrades who were weak, maybe physically or emotionally or mentally? Are you praying for them in those ways? When you pray for them in those ways, pray for them spiritually too, that they might know, that they might understand the exceeding greatness of God's power toward the believers, toward them if they're believers in the Lord Jesus. Look over at Ephesians chapter 3. That's one of the two prayers that Paul records and lays out and says, here's what I'm praying for you. Here's what I'm praying for you. He wasn't doing it trying to appear spiritual. He was sharing his heart. This is what I pray for you. He was being a model. Pray this for one another. Praying for all saints. Chapter 3, go down to verse 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He's focusing on the spiritual needs. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's focusing on the spiritual needs. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Spiritual needs. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It wasn't that Paul didn't care about their physical needs. It wasn't that Paul wasn't concerned about their material well-being. He was. But he knew that rising above all of those things, that if they were better physically and better materially, but not growing spiritually, that was not the purpose of God in their lives. The ultimate purpose of God is that we be more conformed to the image of His dear Son. We don't want to leave any soldier behind. Paul prays in verse 20, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He prays to the One who can do it. The One who is able beyond our comprehension. And if we had time, we could look through. You can look through just about every letter that Paul wrote, and you can find him praying. He'll talk about prayer. He'll talk about what he prayed for them. He'll talk about being appreciative to God for them. He'll teach them about prayer. Paul is consistently practicing what he preaches. He doesn't just talk about prayer. He prays. And if you notice, as you look through those prayers, you'll find that the focus, the emphasis of his prayers was the spiritual. And I would encourage you, as I encourage myself, as I've been encouraged to do by studying this, that when we pray for one another in the material, physical realm, that we not forget to pray for the spiritual. But not only prayers for all believers, we have here in Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll go back over there, prayer for specific believers. You know, we can pray those things that Paul prayed, and we could pray through the book of Ephesians for one another. Every time Paul instructs us to do something, if you would pray for me that I would do that, that I'd be reminded to do that, that I would be faithful to do that, I would appreciate it. Praying one for another. for all saints. But then there are specific requests. And in verse 19, Paul says, not only praying for all saints and for me. Don't leave me behind, Paul says. Now here's Paul, a godly man, used of the Holy Spirit to write so much of the New Testament, to reveal this truth of the church, the body of Christ, all believers being one, that unity. And here's that man, and you're probably saying, he doesn't need any prayer. Let me go over here and pray for brother so-and-so. He needs it. Paul's fine. Paul says, I'm not. I need it too. Don't leave me behind. Pray for me. Pray that I'll get out of this stinking, dirty, rotten jail, and God will get some revenge on me. He doesn't pray that, does he? He didn't pray that. Now, I'm sure he would like to get out of that dirty, stinking, rotten jail. And he knew that God ultimately would have justice. But the focus of his prayer and his prayer request, again, was spiritual. Pray for me, he said, that utterance may be given unto me, that I'll have the words to say. You know, if Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, needed to ask people to pray that he would have the right words, what do you think you and I need to do? I can handle this one, Lord. I got it. No. Pray for me. Pray that I'll have the right words to say to others. And then he says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I surely don't need to waste my time praying for Paul, do I? That he would be bold. I mean, look at Paul. The guy goes into a city. They throw him out, stone him, leave him for dead. He gets up and comes back in. He says, I need prayer. You see, because today's a new day. And we want to stand in the evil day. And Paul says, you know, every day is an evil day. And every day is a day that Satan's attacking. And just because I stood up yesterday and opened my mouth boldly for the Lord Jesus is no guarantee I'm going to do it today. Conversely, I would encourage you, just because you didn't stand up boldly for the Lord Jesus yesterday doesn't mean you can't do it today. Because we're praying for one another, I hope. I trust. Paul encourages us to do. To be ready to share the gospel. To speak for the Lord Jesus. That was his heart. I want to share the gospel. You know, we need to pray for one another. The gospel's being shared. It's being shared right now in the Sunday school. It's being shared at the basketball ministry. It's being shared at Woodland Place. It's being shared at the urban ministry. It's being shared through the mentoring ministry. It's being shared through tracts. It's being shared on the job. It's being shared in the neighborhoods. It's being shared in many different circumstances. And Paul said, I'm in jail. Pray for me. I want to share the gospel. When things go bad in your life, don't get mad and frustrated. Say, hey, God's getting ready to do something here. He's got somebody for me to talk to. Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, Bruce Chamberlain shared about the Time Warner man coming out to his house working on some lines that they had messed up. And while the guy was there, Bruce begins to take advantage of this aggravation. Here's Bruce. He's got his lines cut. He's got his water line hit by the tiller, or as the ditch witch. And what does he do? He shares the gospel with this guy. And Janet writes down some verses for him. The guy takes it home and calls Bruce back a couple days later and said, I just want to let you know that didn't fall on deaf ears. I got home that day and my wife told me my cousin died unexpectedly. And I got out my Bible and I looked up those verses. And Bruce said, did you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, Justin? He said, I did. The gospel's going out. I visited J.C. Mendenhall down at Duke Clinic the other day. In an area with a lot of people with a lot of problems. And J.C.'s problems are bad, and they have been. But as I talked to J.C. and all the difficulty, he shared with me two different instances just sharing about how he had been able to speak for the Lord Jesus to some of the other patients. In a difficult circumstance, we need to pray for each other. We're all having opportunities, but we may be missing them. We need the words. We need the boldness. And God will do that. There are needs, not only in evangelism, but in many different areas of life. If you got one of these blue charts, if not, there may be another one out there. As we said before, many things are shared anonymously through this. But one thing you know is that people in this local church are struggling with all of these issues. Somebody has written down on a 3x5 card, I'm struggling with this. And you can pray. You don't know who the person is, but you can pray. Father, I pray for that fellow believer, that fellow soldier, that brother, that sister who is struggling with this particular issue. You can ask one another. You know, on Wednesday night or Sunday morning after the Lord's Supper, when we have time for prayer requests, somebody may or may not share what's deeper in their hearts, but they might share it with you if you ask them. Is there something I can pray for you about? Is there one spiritual battle you got going on that I can pray with you about? And pray for them. Don't leave anybody behind. You know, we all, I think, would admit, me at the top of the list, that we need to spend more time in prayer. That we need to be more specific in prayer. Then we need to be more scriptural and spiritually minded in our praying. And I want to encourage you and challenge you this week as you pray for fellow believers and you pray for a need they've shared, maybe physical or emotional or financial, some material area. Make sure you add to that request a spiritual request, something that Paul prayed about, or something that we see through the Scripture, something that you know is God's will, God's desire, even if you don't know the specifics in their lives. God hears. And He answers prayer. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for access into Your presence. Father, we confess that so often we take that for granted. And Father, we're ashamed of that. That we can come into the holy place. That we can come into Your very presence in the heavenlies. That we're seated together with the Lord Jesus in the heavenly places, and that, Father, we can actually speak and You hear. You listen, not because our words are eloquent, but, Father, because we come in the name that's above every name, the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And we come to You. We think even of how He taught His disciples to pray. Father, we see the emphasis on the spiritual there. And Father, we come to You who are in heaven, and Father, we want to reverence Your name, who You truly are, Your character. Father, how You present Yourself in the Scripture. Father, we are awed at knowing we're in the presence of the God who is the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe, the One who has provided redemption. Oh, Father, how we desire to see Your Son face to face. How we desire, Father, to be with Him and to see His glory and one day to come back and rule and reign with Him as His kingdom comes upon this earth. Father, how we want His will to be done right now. Father, Your will to be done in our lives individually. Father, we do pray for our daily needs. Father, we look to You to provide for us exactly what we need physically and materially and financially. Father, socially. Father, what we need relationally. Father, what we need mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Father, we look to You to make that provision. Father, we come to You confessing our own transgressions against You. Father, we thank You that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, and we pray that our attitude would be one of forgiveness toward others, that we would forgive even as You, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. Father, we desire that You would lead us away from temptation, that You would deliver us from the evil one. Thank You for giving us the armor that we can stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, Father, we thank You and confess that Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and forever. And Father, we commit one another to You and we challenge one another, Father. and ask you to bring that challenge home to our hearts and bring our fellow believers to mind this week, that we might leave no fellow soldier behind, but that we may pray for all saints as we commend ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you pray.